Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Timothy, the surprising convert. Timothy, the surprising worker. The surprising partner. The surprising laborer in the work of the gospel that came to the Apostle Paul so unexpectedly out of his missionary labors. God has wonderful surprises for us all along the way. And we find one of those in the person of Timothy, the very one that Paul is writing this epistle to, 2 Timothy, that we are studying now in the Beacon Broadcast, and the one that we're going to talk about a little bit more in just a moment. But thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, August 31, and thank you for helping us with the considerable expense of maintaining this broadcast on our family of stations. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord. This being an epistle, that is a letter, it follows the customary form of letters in that day, namely to start by identifying the author, Paul, in verse 1, and then secondly, identifying the recipient, Timothy, in verse 2. Now, Timothy, as we saw in the broadcast yesterday, seemed to pop up almost out of the blue. At least it seemed that way to Paul. When Paul got back to the regions of Derbe and Lystra and Iconium on his second missionary journey to revisit churches that had been established on his first missionary journey, behold, there was Timothy, a young man who apparently was strong in the faith and zealous for the gospel. And somebody that, from the surprise that seems to be expressed by Dr. Luke in recording the narrative in Acts chapter 16, was unknown to Paul. He probably knew his mother and grandmother. He makes reference to them here in this second epistle to Timothy, and we'll get to that in a very short while. But he does not seem to have been expecting to find this godly young man. But let me read again these verses in Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Then he, that is Paul, came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, there's a sense of surprise in the choice of words that Luke uses here as guided by the Holy Spirit. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. And Paul, as a consequence of that, invited him to join the missionary team. Timothy agreed, I would say probably eagerly agreed, and became really a replacement for John Mark, who had defected from the first missionary journey. John Mark had come along as a young man, as an intern, as a novice, as a gopher, as a servant to help in any way that he could. And for whatever reason, he bailed out. Probably he found the rigors of the missionary journey a little harder than he was expecting and that he was accustomed to, and he got homesick and he went home to mother, I take it. The Bible doesn't spell that out, but that's what I have surmised in reading between the lines. I may be entirely wrong. But it's clear that Paul thought his departure was totally unwarranted. For whatever reason, he left. It couldn't have been an obviously legitimate one. It had to have been what appeared to Paul to be a totally illegitimate one. And so I think my suppositions are probably pretty close to the truth. So John Mark defected. However, as we know, Barnabas took him on the second missionary journey, and John Mark became a strong and effective servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He needed a second chance. He needed someone who would be willing to give him a second chance, and Barnabas was that someone. Paul was not. Paul was unwilling to give him another chance. Paul had concluded that his departure was a serious and permanent defect of character, which would never be overcome. Paul was wrong. But at any rate, Paul discovered Timothy, and as I say, there seems to be a surprise at the discovery. It doesn't sound like he even knew Timothy before that second journey. You say, well, where did Timothy come from? Well, obviously he was the son of Lois and the grandson of Eunice, or rather, Lois, the mother, and the grandmother Eunice. No, I've got them backwards. Grandmother Lois and mother Eunice. And Paul probably knew them, but maybe not. Maybe this family had been saved and come into the church during the time when Paul was away. Maybe he didn't know any of them. Or maybe he knew the mother, knew the grandmother, who had come to Christ. They were faithful and observing Jews, but they apparently heard the gospel, maybe from Paul, and maybe after Paul was gone, from others. But I would assume probably heard it from the Apostle Paul, recognized that what he was preaching was the truth, that Jesus of Nazareth was the long-awaited, before-promised Messiah, the Jewish Messiah. They came to embrace Jesus Christ, or maybe I should say they came to embrace Jesus as their Christ, came into the church, had a young son named Timothy. Paul was there preaching in the church, but apparently didn't pay a lot of attention to Timothy. Timothy seems to be a total surprise to Paul. I take a little comfort in that. In our church, I try to learn the children of the members, to know something about them, to learn and call them by name. I try to get to know them, but I tell you, it's quite a job. And I don't always do a good job of it. And sometimes I call them by the wrong names, particularly brothers in the same family. I'm often guilty of calling one brother by the name of the other brother, or same thing with sisters, one sister by the name of the other sister. And sometimes these kids just sort of grow up and bang, there they are. They've been there all along. I've watched them to some degree, but not real carefully. I just can't observe everybody carefully. The church is too large to allow that. And sometimes, bang, they suddenly seem to spring from childhood into young adulthood overnight, and sometimes it is refreshingly surprising to see how much spiritual interest and commitment to Christ they have. I didn't see that coming, and bang, there they are. What a joy. What a cause for thanksgiving to God. And that's almost the way it is with Paul and Timothy. Back to Acts chapter 16. Then Paul came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. This young man had blossomed into the Christian faith by, of course, the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, and had grown and matured and was zealous for the cause of the gospel, all under the tutelage and within the confines, you might say, of his local church, and under the watchful eye of his pastors and local church leaders. They were aware of this, but Paul wasn't. When Paul came along, they said, take a look at Timothy. Here's a young man who is growing like a weed. He's growing leaps and bounds. We think God really has something in store for him. And Paul no doubt talked to Timothy and agreed. And when he left, Timothy was traveling with him. Timothy traveled with Paul. Timothy was trained by Paul. Timothy eventually is trusted by Paul to go to the city of Ephesus and take charge of the church there to provide leadership in a very challenging and difficult situation, probably the most demanding assignment of any that Paul had, and he trusted Timothy to take that assignment. And now he's writing his second epistle to Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son. What an honor was Timothy's to be trusted with such vital work by none other than the Apostle Paul. What a privilege to be desired as a companion to the great Apostle Paul. What a responsibility to be asked to labor alongside the Apostle Paul. What expectation must have been in the eyes of others, of his church, to expect great things from this one who was taken under wing by the Apostle Paul. What a great weight of responsibility to have Paul counting on you, Timothy. Wow. But you know, every true Christian has a great honor and privilege and expectation. We all have the responsibility and the privilege of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Not all of us are going to be able to serve Him alongside someone like the Apostle Paul. There was only one Apostle Paul. And not everybody is going to be able to serve the Lord God alongside some great preacher, some well-known figure in the Christian church. And that can be a great privilege, but I've also noticed that too sometimes have its pitfalls. But every one of us have the privilege of serving Christ. What greater honor is that? Who's greater than He? What difference does it make if you're serving in a big church or a small church? What difference does it make if you're serving alongside a big-name preacher or alongside a virtually unknown preacher, if he's faithful to the Word of God? What difference does it make? Because in either case, and in neither case, are you serving man, hopefully. That is one of the pitfalls of serving some of those big-name preachers. Sometimes it is easier to fall into the pitfall of doing it to serve a man instead of Christ. And that can lead to all kinds of problems, as I have observed many times over the years. But what difference does it make what men you are serving with? You want them to be godly men, faithful men, by God's help and grace. You hope they will be. But what difference does it make? The thing that matters is we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us who are saved have that privilege. All of us who are saved have that duty, that responsibility, that expectation. That's exactly what we are supposed to be doing. All of us are supposed to be doing that. We can, if we will, but not everyone is like we should. If you're saved, you are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Act like it. Live like it. Serve like it. Until the Lord calls you home, or until He returns to earth. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.